We return to the low-budget world of Shinpei Hayashiya as we take a modern look at Tokyo and giant monsters. Will this spoof kaiju that definitely isn't Godzilla be a bust or a gut buster? Will it fall flat or will we fall the flat of our backs laughing? Find out along with us as we take a look at the middle chapter of his kaiju series. This is Kaiju versus History, Reiga, God of the Monsters.
Back to Kaiju versus History. This is your local father of three beautiful Asakusa daughters, Miles, and joining me is a kaiju pissing out a chemical fire, Patrick.
Hey, finally some scatological kaiju references. I believe I mentioned this movie to you fairly early on.
Yeah.
Daigoro, where we see kaiju pooping. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I was like, oh, it's going to be a while again before we find out how kaiju go to the bathroom. And this movie solves that burning mystery.
This movie.
Reiga, God of the Monsters, 2009 film by Shinpei Hayashiya. We, of course, 4 episodes ago did Reigo, God of the Sea Monsters. But this is a very different film from that one, right, Miles?
Is it? Is it, though?
There's still
time spent in nondescript buildings that they had the permits to.
Yeah. There's just a lot of scenes of people sitting around a table and chatting. Yeah.
Like, yeah, the era may change, but like the gimmick hasn't.
That movie is so serious by comparison, though. You know, they're really taking a look at historical epoch in Japan's.
This one does try past. To be a lot more, you know, upfront that it's trying to be a comedy. Emphasis on trying. But before we get into it, Patrick, tell us, what is in a title?
So this movie is Shin Kaiju Rei. New Kaiju Reiga, I think, is actually the translation. It has been translated to Deep Sea Monster Reiga in the U.S. I think the DVD of this came out as Reiga, King of the, or God of the Monsters. In Germany, you'll see this on DVDs as translated out to Reiga, the Monster from the Deep Sea. So it's a little different depending on a few places and a few different versions of this film. Once again, I think the SRS Cinema DVDs that came out in 2019, 2020 were coming out around Godzilla, King of the Monsters. So you want to have, you know, what's better than a king, Miles? Of course, it is a god. So you get that kind of evolution of King of the Sea Monsters. And yeah, this movie does have technically a new kaiju that is kind of, I think, related to the Reigo that we saw in the previous film.
Yeah, honestly, I did not expect this to be an actual sequel. And the fact that, like, it takes place in the same... I was like, what? Like, that's the wildest part of this movie to me is like, oh, so we're just... Okay, all right, we're in this alternate history. Yeah, there seems to be certainly some shared DNA with the prior film, because you got this like bonefish kind of sequence that is very reminiscent of the last film.
Is it the same?
I don't think it's supposed to be, but it looks like it.
I mean, is it the same effects that they use? Because it is, you know, kind of representative of Godzilla, like where deep sea creatures come up with Godzilla, either, you know, in the form of giant lice that are attached to him. And this one, it's kind of like, I think, what the Reiga feeds on. But to get into the movie, the credit sequence is awesome in this film. We get to see Reiga in its full form underwater fighting like the devil fish Bone Mama, like the a kaiju sized version, which, you know, we know is just the regular size creature that they use throughout the film. But yeah, fighting against Rega in a very short sequence, but a very satisfying one, where at the very end, Rega kind of snaps the fish in half. I was surprised by that. I had pre-screened this movie at one point years ago when we were getting ready to start the podcast. I was like, what is this movie? It's so wacky. And then I got to the part where Rega was peeing out of its butt. And I was like, oh, I'm going to make Miles watch this, ain't I? But yeah, it's very similar to 2 weeks ago when we did Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. Global warming has unfrozen more of these ancient creatures, and Rega kind of comes up from the depths, and for some, I don't even know if it's explained, for some reason really hates Asakusa, the the district of Tokyo where 90% of this movie takes place.
I would assume he hates it specifically because that's where the permits were.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. Yeah. They mentioned that the kaiju itself does not attack the temples or doesn't like step on the temples. So like maybe there's some kind of, you know, tie-in with that or reasoning behind that. Maybe something in Japanese culture, like, you know, the temples are always left safe from the monster's wrath. But yeah, Asakusa or Asakusa, the district in Tokyo, is kind of like, I think, to the northwest of like downtown area. It has a lot of gates and temples, in particular Sensoji, a Buddhist temple, which are shown significantly in this film, kind of like stock footage wise. But we also get, it is very famous for various festivals, and part of the plot of this movie is them planning out like a festival. We see the party planning committee is just four probably drunk,
and then like some girl playing an instrument.
Yes. Yeah. In a lot of ways, this movie feels like it is a love letter to the Asakusa district, or this movie was made to be shown at one of these festivals or just to promote local businesses, because it's hilarious how much is really focused on, like, they mention places to eat and drink specifically. I'm pretty sure they're real places in the area.
I would believe that.
I think that the cast were angling for some free drinks or meals at these firms. But it is funny that it loves this area so much, but at the end of the movie, that section of Tokyo is completely obliterated, like vaporized, when there, spoiler warning, there's two Regas that come up and attack. One shoots red lightning and one shoots yellow lightning.
Something like that.
Anyway, there's not a lot of explanation for that.
There's not a lot of explanation for anything. And even our characters. So we have like one who's the father of three girls who has to hide the fact that he dates. Their mom has passed away, and
it feels like a a plot from a 70s sitcom, that the daughters don't want the father dating again. And that's like the main quandary of the characters in this movie. It's not that a kaiju keeps attacking their hometown. It is that their father is dating a former classmate, supposedly. I think they're
yeah, and then like there's classes. Some false drama of like, oh, he's not gonna pick his daughters. I mean, he's not gonna pick me over his daughters, or some nonsense. And the daughters are all pretty charming. I mean, it's nothing for the movie, because like the movie is, I think it has like honestly one gag I think made me laugh, and that was the
two white guys that are in the movie. Yeah. I knew it.
That and the food gag were like, they're all talking about like what food they're gonna miss when they die or whatever, or what they want the last meal to be. And when they're like, McDonald's,
McDonald's,
I'm loving it.
And have it your way.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That is great. These two as you know, the kaiju is destroying the district. I don't think they're supposed to be tourists. Just two white guys show up.
Yeah, there's two random white guys. They're speaking Japanese, aren't they?
They're speaking Japanese. They come up and they're like, "Oh, look, it's Godzilla." And all the Japanese cast members are like, "No, it's not."
That gag was actually funny.
Yeah, of course, returning from Reigo is actor Yukijiro Hotaru, who I know and love from the Heisei Gamera movies, but is also as well known in these Shin films. He plays Hajime, and he does have three lovely daughters, one of which is, I think they mention she's supposed to be in elementary school. She's a 20-ish year old woman, you know? It's like, what grade are they?
One of them actually is the age, like one of them actually is 13.
What, one of these actresses is 13?
At the time of this movie, yeah. Little girl, Manami Inosawa, who plays Akari, she was, I think, 13 at the time of that film was made, because she was born in 1996.
Yeah, that's like 15, no, 13.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I said.
Oh, boy. She just does not give off elementary school, at least.
No, she does not.
That might be a bad translation.
You're supposed to think she's like 8 or 9 for some reason. And it's like, no, she is older.
Yeah, they kind of play her as she's the younger sister, but it's like they give her some weird things to say as that. Besides that, the only other character of note that I want to bring up is Commander Kito, played by Makoto Inamiya, who is an eye patch wearing kind of special forces commando. And he was also in Reigo as a similar kind of character, which I think is a lot of fun. But he's going to be also in War of the Ninja Monsters, Jaren versus, Agura, which is a very similar film by Shinpei Hayashiya that came out this last year. And if he doesn't have an eye patch in that movie, I'm going to be very sad. But his character is very much an over-the-top kind of war-loving type. The characters don't really have much of an impact on the plot, you know, our main character especially. More so, they get rich by kind of tourism caused by the kaiju attack, which I think is funny in its own right. They're selling t-shirts with Reiga on mm-hmm. it, which I would absolutely, I mean,
100%.
I do own a Reiga t-shirt from SRS, but I want the ones that they were selling in the movie.
I do too. They're really, really great.
So funny. I meant to wear that shirt like tonight, but I forgot.
I'm wearing my Space Godzilla shirt.
I went through the trouble of getting it from SRS when I was buying this movie. I was like, you know, the additional art that they do for their DVD Blu-ray releases is really great. You know, I don't think it really compares to the first movie because they're very different. I did not really get bored in this film the same way I got pretty bored in the first of the movies, but I did have to watch this movie on like 1.5 speed because it's pretty slow, right? And
for a movie that's as short as it is, it feels so much longer.
Yeah, it is 1 hour and 20 minutes, is 80 minutes long, and even the kaiju attack sequences, we get a lot of the same CGI F-16s going in for like a strafing run, or F-15, F-17 kind of attack planes, jets, you know, firing rockets and stuff, and they just play that same footage over and over again. I'm just like, all right, let's get to this monster being destroyed so I can get back to the kind of funny subplot of the film, which, like I said, doesn't really have much of an ending, doesn't really have much of a impact on the story. Very hilariously, in the climax of the film, where you think the characters might be in danger or affect the plot in some way, our main character, you know, at first he just goes to find his girlfriend during this crisis, and then three other girls who are classmates of his daughters find out, you know, they call themselves the Asakusa Candies. they find Hajime and guilt him into going and spending time with his daughters during this crisis instead. That's like the climax of the movie.
Yeah.
And then he just goes to a hotel like a mile or so away from the kaiju attack, and they just watch as Reiga pees on some fires and eventually destroys their entire neighborhood. That's the movie, Miles. That's it, yeah, in a nutshell.
I mean, Reiga is, I mean, obviously a much more traditional kaiju than Reigo was. It very Godzilla-esque looking. I don't know. This, I have some of the similar problems as I did with his last movie. Like, I can tell that there is a love for kaiju movies here. Like, absolutely. This is kind of what I was referring to when I was talking about this in our Mega Shark episodes. Like, I see the love. I still don't like the execution and the result, but I at least see, okay, this person is coming from a place of like, I want to do some funny within this subgenre, but like, I love these movies. And we can tell, like, by even from the cast members that he gets, you know, that we have someone who's been in like all the Heisei Gamera movies, even Gamera 4, you know.
Yukijiro Hotaru is Heihachi's muse, I think, at this point.
Yeah, and I'm honestly, as much as the humor didn't work for me, like, he was so much fun to watch. Like, yeah. I'll give him that. This movie is 80 minutes long. It feels like it's twice that. I should have thought to watch it at 1.5 speed as well.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it is on Tubi, I'm pretty sure, and a few other places, but you can find it on YouTube. And when I realized I could watch it at one and, you know, a quarter speed or 1.5 speed, I was like, oh yeah, I can read very fast. So the subtitles were flying by. But yeah, not a ton of plot to this movie. But did you have a favorite scene outside, or a favorite part of the movie outside of the comedic scene that we talked about?
I'm trying to think of. I do love that the kamikaze that they keep alluding to for most of this movie just completely fails.
Like, it's also, it is just a big tank, right?
Yeah, like it's just
a larger special tank. Yeah, that I was like, what are they gonna do to this kaiju? I like I said, I really enjoyed the first kaiju fight sequence in the credits. I was like, oh, that's a pretty cool way to open a movie. But my favorite part of this film is, it's not really a scene, but they use star wipes to transition between some scene changes, and the star wipe is just a cutout of the monster itself. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's claw, it's foot at one point. It this movie knows kind of what it is, as opposed to, you know, like I said, what we watched 2 weeks ago, Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, pretends to not be a silly kaiju movie. This one very much knows it is. Yeah, let's you know, we do have a third movie in this series, but the 2019's God Reiga versus King Ooga, War of the Monsters, it is a decade away from the publication of this film, but I'm still excited to get to that. It's the one I don't think I have seen any of, really, outside of some quick previews. Let's get to the rating of this movie, because I enjoyed my time with this film. I think it is wildly all over the place, and most of the humorous bits that work for me, I don't think would work for a lot of other people. Great kaiju designs. I really enjoyed what we got here, as opposed to the CGI of Reigo. Overall, there's a lot of elements that didn't work, so it definitely wasn't perfect. This movie, just like the previous one, really does feel like it is made for solely its Japanese audience. So I feel like, you know, even more specifically than that, just the Asakusa area of Tokyo, people that know of that district will enjoy this. But I liked getting that kind of sneak peek into Japan. I'm going to visit that area of Tokyo hopefully next year. So
I'm gonna get a text, like, you know, Ryan got pissed here.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm gonna keep it secret from my wife. I'm gonna have her take photos of me and recreate scenes from the movie. I enjoy this movie a lot, and any movie that ends with a kaiju peeing out of its butt should be a perfect score, but this is not a perfect movie, so I'm only giving it an 8 out of 10 for my personal enjoyment, Miles, which I rewatched it a couple of times since watching it for the podcast. It is very fun in a lot of places. It's very weird in a lot of others.
I'm glad you enjoy it.
What's your personal enjoyment?
I didn't have any. I did not have a great time with this movie. I hate that I don't, because I love that you have someone who is independently making their own kaiju films. They clearly love kaiju films. Like there's so much passion here. I wish I loved this movie. Like I really do, but I really, really don't. It's not very funny for a comedy that is always going to be a big thing for me. I don't really love the titular monster that much. The score is abysmal. The score is like, it feels like the American like Zarcor style movie kind of score. Like it is
most definitely.
It's awful, awful, awful.
I feel towards the end, we get like a war track for like the military. That is actually kind of good, but I agree with you. The base kind of attack music for Rega is not good.
Yeah, I did not have a great time with this movie. I had about as good a time as I did with Mega Shark.
Goodness.
So this is getting a 3 out of 10 for personal enjoyment.
Oh, Miles, what about its technical aspects?
So as much as I complain about a lot of its technical aspects, you know, because a comedy not being funny, which is subjective, is a big miss. That said, I think all the actors are perfectly fine. I think a lot of its effects are fairly charming. I wish the designs were a little bit better. I wish the script was stronger. But I'm not going to beat this one up too much for a lot of it. I mean, this is a scrappy little production. I do really enjoy that aspect of it. I hold a lot of respect for that. So I'm a lot more lenient in this one. So I'm giving it a 6. I think that it is lacking, and I'm definitely giving it a lot more scores just for being a scrappy little independent feature. But you know, if it had a stronger script, I think this movie would be pretty crackerjack. Like, I don't mind that the design is, you know, a hand-me-down Godzilla. I don't mind they even replicate it for a second version of this monster to fight, but you know, so many things just kind of go wrong for this movie for me. But I'm still dipping it to a 6 out of 10 for its technical. What about you, man?
I'm right there with you. This is a very low budget movie, is an important thing to remember, and it does get away with doing something that a lot of independent American films do, which is called shooting the fair. I think a term coined on MST3K or something similar like that, where they're just using aspects of Asakusa festivals and like Kabuki theater that I think were going on at the time while they were filming this. So like they incorporated it into the movie, which I do love that kind of ingenuity. But once again, it just seems every time they do that, the plot gets more and more lost. We do get a hilarious, you know, 2-minute kind of recap of the previous movie that doesn't really seem like it has much to do with this monster, but it is a fun little like a clip show of the Rego attacking the battleship Yamato. Yeah, the plot is less of a film plot, more of a just a meandering kaiju adventure where these characters, like I said, don't really seem to have much of an impact on the kaiju itself, and vice versa. You know, like I said, they're happy the kaiju attacked, which is kind of, yeah, outside of a very solid, we didn't even talk about Rega's suit design. I think a great suitimation, amazing suitimation brought to life by a veteran of the suitimation world in, I think it was Godzilla's suitimator. I'm looking at the wrong way. I've pulled up.
Yeah, he's one of the Millennium Godzillas.
Yeah, Mizuho Yoshida, who did GMA. He was Godzilla in Godzilla Mothra and King Ghidorah Giant Monsters All Out Attack, and then was in a couple of the Gamera movies, and also was the bad guys in Rebirth of Mothra and Rebirth of Mothra 2. So he is a tried and true suitimator. Not that this kaiju gets like a ton of stuff to do in this movie, but there are some funny bits with the suitimation, which I enjoyed. So I'm right there with you, giving it a 6 out of 10. And for its importance or its kind of influence in the kaiju world, I think this is one of the better kaiju comedies. I put it up there with Monster X Strikes Back as far as that is concerned. And I really enjoyed that movie. But once again, that movie just feels like it was not made for prime time. It wasn't made for an international audience. It was made for a Japanese audience. So I feel like it's a fun setting, fun monster, fun characters, a bit of a love letter more so to independent filmmaking than kaiju movies in itself. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, mix into that, that we, you know, still in 2009 have actual pseudomated kaiju, and you know, we up until 2024 we still have pseudomated kaiju, but I like that there are independent films that are keeping that spirit alive. So this is a solid 7 out of 10 for me as far as its importance goes. Let me just double check on that. Yeah, it's evocative of an earlier time period of filmmaking, and I like that independent folks like Shinpei Hayashi are keeping that alive. But what about you, Miles?
I don't disagree with what you said. I don't necessarily agree with the high number. I do think what he's doing is important. I do. It's not, kaiju comedies can be, you know, a big hit or miss thing. I mean, this is no Monsters versus Aliens, which is our gold standard, our North Star, if so you will. Bad. Now we just have, we like, again, the comedy is certainly subjective. What I find funny will not be what you find funny, and vice versa. But I do think this deserves, I mean, there's clear love for kaiju cinema. There's clear attempt at being kaiju cinema. I do, and I think I had this complaint with his last film. I do wish there was less, what's the word I'm looking for? It feels like it's doing a kaiju impersonation as opposed to like being a full-on kaiju film. Like, yeah, he has all the tropes and everything, but I'm like, yeah, but like, give us your real take. Like, I don't need to see, you know, a superficial version of it. Like, mm-hmm. We know how these movies work. You know how these movies work. We know that you know. So, like, give us a little bit more of a twist on it. And I wish that he would, because I do think he's a talented filmmaker. I think what he's able to do with his independent films is pretty incredible. That said, I still think that, yes, we're still getting films like this, like Rego, and I'm not as impressed by the output. So I'm going a little bit lower. I'm not going as low as I originally was, but I'm going to give it a 6. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he, the effort's there. I agree with everything you said. I can't in good conscience put it that high up just because of what I perceive to be the quality of the film.
Okay, so that puts you at a 5 out of 10 for mm-hmm. Reika, God of the Monsters, and I'm at a 7 out of 10. Very easy math for our podcast final. 6 out of 10 for Reika, God of the Monsters. And that puts it right in line with Rego, I believe, which I think we both gave a 6 out of 10. So I enjoyed this one a little bit more than that movie. And I guess you enjoyed that one a little bit more than this movie. So they kind of balance each other out. Hopefully we come back in.
And both love the next one. We'll see.
Yeah. 10 years from now, we will be looking at this, I think, in May, perhaps, for the next season. That'll be towards the end of season 7 of the podcast, God Rega versus King Oga. Like I said, that's not one that I've watched. So hopefully that one does better for us. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Kaiju versus History. 6 out of 10 for Rega. Email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail. Find us on kaijuversushistory.com. Check out our Letterboxd at Kaiju versus History on Letterboxd. See our account to see our reviews in 5-star format. Take a look at the movies that are coming up on the list. And rate and review, comment on our show, wherever you find this podcast, and we would appreciate it. Miles, what are we doing next time? Next time.
Well, thank you, Patrick, and thank you, listeners. Next week, we're going to close out the first decade of kaiju films in the new millennium by taking a look at all the movies to come out post Y2K and before 2010. Season 6 of the podcast might be over, but we'll still spend next week talking about the hits and misses of the season and what we skipped in our journey towards Kaiju Ega completion. So join us on next week's episode for History versus the 2000s in Review.